Heavenly Father, help us to truly learn how to experience your presence. For that's what you desire more than anything else. That we would be present in your presence. As your word says in the Gospel of John in chapter 4, as Jesus spoke to the woman of Samaria at the well. He said, the Father is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, we desire to be called that people that will worship you with our lives, of course, but also we would worship you in your presence. And so, Lord God, right now we just want to take a moment to enter into your presence in a deeper way. And so I just ask everyone to just bow your heads, close your eyes, just shut everyone out from around you. And for many of you, you know what that means. That means that you're going to step into a spiritual place. But for some that might be here, you might be here thinking, well, church is a place where you perform certain rituals or perform certain routines. And while there's a degree of truth to that, the primary purpose is to learn how to be in his presence. So that you could be in his presence anytime, any place. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, we want to hear your voice. We just want to feel that stirring inside of us, speaking to us. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. You may have a seat. See, those that know the presence of God know how to get into his presence. Experience God in a way that no other group of people can experience. I remember growing up as a kid, I would go to church, but I went to church because I had to go. I didn't know that God was in the house by virtue of his Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, God became less and less real to me over a period of time. But when I came to that place of learning how to come into his presence, and it doesn't have to be in a church setting. You may experience it as you're spending time in prayer, as you spend time talking to others about the things of God, as you spend time in the Word, reading the Scriptures. You may experience it driving down the road, listening to Christian radio. But by whatever means that you enter into his presence, it is a precious place. Because it reaffirms that he's real. We live in a world that's just filled with images. I went to see the Avengers this week. Hey, it's all images. It's not real. I don't break your heart for me to say that to you guys back there. But it's not real. But he is real. But the only way that you can know the reality of who he is as you learn how to step into his presence. You see, you are a supernatural being. Now, I don't mean like Iron Man or Captain America or the Hulk. Not in that sense. But you are supernatural in the sense that you are spiritual. So often we focus on our natural experience, the things that I touch, the things that I taste, the things that I hear or see or smell. But you're more than that. And there's a dimension of life that God wants to draw you into and bring you into a reality that there is a spiritual realm. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Ephesians? And let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. And Ephesians is broken up into 6 different chapters. And in each of the 5 chapters, the first 5 chapters, the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians, the epistle, gives us instructions on how we're to deal with certain things. Husbands and wives, children, how we're to act and behave in the workplace to our bosses, with our bosses, those that we have authority over. And so all different kinds of situations that are practical. But if you think that God only exists so that he can provide for the practical, then you miss something very important. Because he says in chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, the first word there is finally. In other words, he's saying all these other things that I've spoken of are important. But he's saying I'm saving the most important part right now. And what he's going to jump into, what he's going to delve into, is the fact that we are supernatural. We are spiritual. And he says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We serve a mighty God. But if we're in a place where we only think that we can appropriate him or we can get something from him in the physical realm, then we miss the point. Because as it said earlier, God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Worship is our communication with him and him with us. And so he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the trickery, the deceits of the devil. And when we talk about putting on the armor of God, we're not talking about going through a ritual where we put on the helmet, pick up the shield, put on the breastplate. But what God is talking about is that the Christian who is equipped to serve recognizes that there's a spiritual dimension to his life. I'm spiritual, you're spiritual. Whether you choose to walk in it or not is your choice. And the reason we need to recognize this, we find in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We may not want to recognize it, but our battle is spiritual. You know, when you're tempted to do something that you know you shouldn't do, listen, that's a spiritual battle going on inside of you. When you see something going on and you feel like you really should stand up and say something, that's a spiritual battle going on inside of you. And then the instruction is, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand or stand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. You see, because we're supernatural, the supernatural position is to stand in God, to stand in Jesus Christ, so that we might see Him fight the battle. You see, you and I, we don't have to fight the battle, but we do have to stand. We do have to find our, we do have to place ourselves in that precarious situation where we have to walk by faith and not by sight. We do have to take risk in order to move into the supernatural. And our position as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, is to what? Stand. Standing on His promises. Standing on His word. Standing on what God has said to you in that time of worship when you experience His presence. There are some things that other people cannot do for you. Other people can't hear God for you. You have to hear Him yourself. God's called us to be a Spirit-led individual. And that's something you can only do yourself. Amen? So I want you to stand with me now. And the praise and worship team is going to introduce a song to us that I believe that will encourage you and strengthen you. How many people need strengthening? You know, we all need strengthening. We all need encouragement. But don't lean on your own strength. Don't think about leaning on your own abilities. Realize that there is a supernatural God that rejoices when you say, "Lord, I trust you." Amen. And when we see that we believe in the impossible, that we will see the impossible. Hallelujah. That we is you and Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
By virtue of His Holy Spirit. It's not we as a bunch of individuals, but it's you and Him. Amen? Everything is about you and Him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. God is good. Come on, why don't you have a seat now? Jesus, I just pray now that you're in a mood to celebrate Mother's Day. Hallelujah. Mother's Day. Glory to God. Jesus. I'm going to show you in a little while that Jesus is for mothers. Amen. He has something to say about mothers. Unfortunately, he doesn't say too much about fathers, but he has something to say about mothers. And so I'm going to ask, make sure that we have all the ladies that are in the church here. I know my wife is working with some kids upstairs. If we can make sure she comes down with the children. Jesus. Now, when we speak of the word mom this morning, I want us to define the word mom. You know, there are biological moms. There are moms that have birthed children from their being, you know, from within. But then there are also stepmoms. And stepmoms are just as valid as biological moms. Then there are also adoptive moms, moms who adopt children. And for God's purposes, they are just as valuable as biological moms. As a matter of fact, when we look at the Bible, what we see that there are many women that are described in the Bible, and they often had many children, and not necessarily were they biological children. Adoption was an important aspect of life in the early days of the Bible, and adoption was total. It was complete. You became the child of that mom and that dad. And then there are moms who have had children that never came to term. I know that's a sad moment. That's difficult, but they're just as much moms as anyone else. And then there are spiritual moms. There are ladies that have been mothers, not necessarily in the ways that I've described just earlier, but in terms of being a spiritual mom, being there for someone spiritual. So therefore, when we talk about moms, I want us to realize that there are all different kinds of moms. Listen to me. There are moms in this room to be. You know, with God, there is no time. You know, the day is a year is a day. You know, it's all the same to him. And so I guess what I'm saying is that every woman in this every female in this room, whether you're a woman or a child, qualifies as being a mom. You're either mom now in some aspect, or you may very well be a mom in some aspect one day in the future. Amen? And so there are some things that, you know, I came across as I was researching some material about moms. And there are some things that you'll never really hear moms say. Are you ready for this? You're never, no matter what kind of mom we're talking about here, you're never going to hear them say this. How on earth can you see the TV sitting back so far? Yeah, I used to skip school a lot too. Hey, you never hear mom say, hey, just leave all the lights on. It makes the house look cheery. Here's another thing you never hear mom say. Hey, let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week. Or how about this? Go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed and walk him every day. I've fallen for that one. I have to, you know, how many people have fallen for that one? You get a dog for your, you know, your son or daughter, and you wind up, it's your dog. Well, if Tommy's mama says it's okay, that's good enough for me. Here's another thing you never hear a mom say. Hey, curfew is just your general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. Here's one you never hear a mom say. I don't have a tissue with me. Just use your sleeve. And finally, don't bother wearing a jacket. The windshield is bound to improve. And so see, these are some of the things that moms, you know, just never would say that. At least I've never heard that in my experience. But the reality is that I believe that God holds moms in a special place. Moms, you are special people. Then I came across a mother's dictionary of meanings. So here are some terms with the real meaning behind it. There's the word dumbwaiter. That's one who asks if the kids would like to have more dessert. Or how about this, feedback, the inevitable result when the baby doesn't appreciate the strained carrots. Or how about the full name? That's what you call your child when you're really mad at him. Victor or husband? Hearsay. Everyone know what the word hearsay means? Hearsay, what toddlers do when anyone mutters a dirty word. What they hear, they say. The word independent, how we want our children to be as long as they do everything we say. How about the word puddle, a small body of water that draws other small bodies wearing dry shoes into it. Oh, here's one, moms, you can all identify with. A show-off, a child who is more talented than yours. You got to think about that one. Now, here's the truth, and if anyone here is a mom of more than one child, you know this is true. Sterilize. This is what you do with the first baby's pacifier by boiling it, and to your last baby's pacifier by blowing on it and wiping it with saliva. Isn't that true? The two-minute warning. It's when your baby's face turns red and begins to make those familiar grunting noises. And finally, who done it? None of the kids that live in your house. We used to have a kid next door. His name was Brad. And whenever something would go wrong in our house, my children would say, it must have been Brad. Brad did it. So that used to be our experience. But the truth of the matter is mom, listen, being a mom is difficult. I can only speak from a father's perspective. And I think that moms, you have it 10 times more difficult than us. And I know that as a dad, and I think I probably speak for a lot of dads, I never felt I was good enough. Looking back, there are things I wish I hadn't done. There are things I wish I had done. And sometimes we can live a life of regret because of those kinds of things. And I'm sure moms, I'm sure you've experienced the same thing. And so we just have a video that we want to show you that addresses that very real issue.
One thing I wish I could be better at as a mom would be to think before I speak, because words really do matter to them.
I wish I could spend more quality time with my kids. I wish I could take away the pain.
I don't know.
I wish I could take away the pain that I caused them when I divorced their dad.
I wish that I was a better listener.
I wish I could be better at managing my time.
I wish I could be more patient with my kids.
My hero mom.
My mom is super sweet.
My mom is so cool.
My mom is so awesome in the hot tub.
My mom really loves me.
I love about my mom that she takes good care of the babies because she's a foster mom.
At Disneyland, what I love to do with my mom is go down Splash Mountain, and we do a special pose, and it looks like this.
My mom is really smart because she listens to the Bible.
My mom takes really good care of me. She makes me feel really important. You're the best, Mom.
She is my best friend. She really is. I love all her phone calls. She always apologizes for calling me. So sorry, I know you're busy, and thank you for answering, but I love when she calls me. It's like one of the best parts of my day. I think she's pretty great.
She always makes me feel like she's my number one fan, and no matter what I'm doing in my life or what I've done, she's always praising me for doing a good job and makes me feel important and I appreciate that from her.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. We love you
so much.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you.
I hope this makes you cry.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you so much.
I feel so loved, and I know how much he loves me, and I know that that I'm doing a better job than I think I am.
Unconditional love is something that I think we will never fully understand until we get to heaven, but I can feel that with my kids. It's like no matter what, you always feel that love from them, just like I try to give that love to them, but there's nothing like it, and it's amazing.
Amen. Moms, you've done a good job. You're doing a good job. You see, with unconditional love, there is a grace. With grace, the unconditional love has a unique capacity to remember only the good things. When Jesus Christ forgave us of our sins on the cross of Calvary to every person who would receive him, he said that all your sins have been forgiven. And he gives an example. He says, as far as the east is from the west. And if you think about that for a moment, you realize that there is no connecting between the east and the west. And that's the way unconditional love is. I believe that we as human beings, we have a unique capacity to remember the good things over time. And even some of the bad things just begin to fade away. Amen? Yeah. Moms, your kids love you unconditionally. It doesn't matter whether they're little toddlers or grown adults with children of their own. Can we acknowledge that none of us are perfect? But all of us are forgiven. And I believe that we're forgiven by our children. Because I'll tell you what happens. When a child grows up and they have children of their own. Hallelujah. I don't want to use the word payback. I heard someone say payback. But then they begin to understand. Amen? God is good. Come on, I'm going to ask all the moms now. And that is, I defined you, mom. I gave a number of definitions. So I'm going to ask all of you to stand up, please. That should be virtually every woman, every female in the room, because you could be a future mom. And we're not going to applaud yet. And then I'm going to ask all of you to come up front. Ladies, every one of you come up front. And I want you to line up along here and face the men. Hallelujah. I guess we have a few women here, huh? Hey, moms. And now we're going to have our children come up, our younger folks, and even our high school and college age guys. Come on now. Don't be bashful. Don't be ashamed. We need you. And they're going to come over. And they're going to give you something. Hey, man, why don't we stand up and just take a moment to bless the moms, amen? Bless the moms. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the moms in the church, Lord. We thank you for these ladies of all different kinds of ages, from the very, very young to the more mature. Lord, we just thank you for them. We thank you for the fact that they have given their very best. And Lord God, we just so much appreciate them this day. Lord, we know that you value mothers. And Lord, help us as husbands, as fathers, as men, to value them as much. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, ladies. Thank you. God bless you. Now, as I said earlier, Jesus showed the value of a mother. And we see in John chapter 19, Jesus has been crucified. He's on the cross. And in John 19, beginning in verse 25, it says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved," that was the Apostle John. He wrote this book. "Standing by," and let me read that again. 20 says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." Now here's this is key. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' And then a short time later, he laid down his life." And what's astounding to me is that in the midst of all that pain, in the midst of all that humiliation, he saw his mother. His mother stood out. There were other women around. We just read the names of them. But only his mother stood out. And he was concerned for his mom. And he said to her, "John, this is your son now, John." And said to John, "This is your mother." And it was only after that that Jesus could say, "Now, all things have been accomplished." The huge spiritual change in the climate that day. The ushering of a brand new covenant in which we live, the New Testament. And yet, his last words, his last thought concerned his mom. Amen? God has a special place in his heart for moms. And moms, I just want to encourage you this morning that it's not easy. I know that. But God sees what you do. Nothing is hidden from him. And so today, we're not just simply acknowledging Mother's Day as some kind of, you know, institution in this country. But we're acknowledging that God sees huge value in the work that a mother does. Moms, you may not realize this, but you have no idea what you have taught your children. And we have another video that I'd like you to see, and I want you to think about these words that you hear. And I want you to think about, at the very end, the words. Because I think they're significant and they're important for you moms to hear and to understand. You have made an impact upon the future of this world. Amen. Let's see that second video.
And right there's the heartbeat. Do you have any kids?
3, actually.
Wow, that sounds crazy.
Crazy? In the best way possible.
So what's it like being a mom?
Feeling too good.
Oh no. It's okay, Sugar Bear. Let's just go in there.
Sorry, Mom.
Oh. It's okay, sweetie. Next time, we'll just run to the washer.
That's the side nobody talks about, right? Moms?
Why are you watching me sleep?
Because you're my baby boy, and I love you.
still creepy, Mom.
Grounded for the rest of your life? Yes. Yes, it does. So in the future, you and I can just refer to it as the monthly visitor.
Stupid. Why am I so stupid?
What did you just say to my son?
What?
My son is not stupid. My son is smart. He was formed by God's hands, he was dreamed up by his heart, and he was placed in this world with a purpose. You, my son, could never be stupid.
What? Mom would never do something like that. She's way too predictable.
I know, right?
How's that for predictable? Nostradamus.
The summer's gonna go by so fast, and we still have to pick out my dorm room furniture.
Calm down.
What?
Maybe I'm not ready to let you go yet.
Mom.
Yes, Mom. That's who I am. Is it so bad that I just want to take care of you forever?
You already have. Everything you've done for me, everything you've taught me, I'll take it with me wherever I go. You have taken care of me. For life.
So what's it like being a mom?
How much time you got?
Amen. We've all been shaped by moms. There are things that we do. How many people have had that experience where you say, oh man, that's what my mom would have said. That's what my mom would have done. You look in the mirror and you say, oh, I'm going to look like my mom. But there are things that we are taught, that we learn as a result of our moms inputting into our lives. Someone wrote down what my mother taught me. Number one, my mother taught me religion when she said, you'd better pray, that will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me about weather. This room looks like a tornado went through it. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait till we get home. My mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when you get home. My mother taught me about humor. When the lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me about wisdom. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. My mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Amen? Hallelujah. God is good. Moms, have a wonderful, wonderful day this day. Amen? And men, we need to cherish these ladies. They may not be our moms, but we need to cherish them because God does. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for every woman here. Lord, I thank you for every mom. And just ask you to bless them this day. And Lord, we've laughed a little. We've been touched a little. But we know that the reality is that being a mom has its hard times and hard moments. There are times when things don't go as planned. When children don't make the best choices. Lord, when we have made mistakes. But Lord God, you are able to restore, to make new again, to reconcile. And Lord, if there are any moms here, Lord, that have wayward children that they're not reconciled with, Lord, right now, we just agree together that, Lord, you would bring reconciliation, that you would touch that daughter or that son, and, Lord, you would bring them back home again. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this day and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. What I'd like to do right now is to receive our church tithes and offerings. And so I'm going to ask the ushers to please come. Hallelujah. And your bulletin should be an offering envelope if you'd like to use one. Otherwise, if you're making out a check, you can make it out to ROC, Reach Out Church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ready to pray? Ready to sow our seed? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow our seed. Lord, as we hold this seed in our money, we hold it and say, Lord, just bless it to the purposes that you have for it. Lord, let it be multiplied to fulfill all that you desire it to do. And Lord, I just ask that you would bless every giver here, Lord, that you would return to them many times over. And not just financial blessing, but blessing in every area of life. In their health, and as we've been talking, in their relationships, Lord, in their finances as well. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. God is good. One last thing that we want to discuss or share with you is that you may have noticed in the bulletin we've been talking about the crisis in Nepal. You may have received emails and text messages that we were going to take up a special offering today. And really, this is just an opportunity for people who want to do this. I realize that some of you have already done things. You've donated to other organizations. You may have texted money through your phone company in order to help the people in Nepal. I was in Nepal in 2011. As a matter of fact, what I'd like to do is maybe show those slides. And I was in Kathmandu in 2011, ministering to Christian pastors there. Nepal is a Hindu nation, but there's a growing segment of Christianity. The mountain that you just saw was Mount Everest, and that's one of the landmarks of the country of Nepal. It lies between China and India. But in any case, if you look at the city, this was pre-disaster. And in a couple of minutes, 2 minutes or so, you're going to see what it looked like after the disaster. And so we've decided that we wanted to receive an offering for those that want to contribute, and that we're going to send it through Samaritan's Purse. Many of you know or are familiar with Samaritan's Purse, and you know that's a very reputable organization, a Christian organization. And so we know that the people in Nepal would receive help, but more than receiving just help, they would also receive the good news. Amen. They would get to see Jesus in action. In any case, this is pre-earthquake, and you can see all the buildings are standing and they're going about business and life as normal. Hindu temples abound in the country. Buddha, you've heard of Buddha, who formed the Buddhist religion. I'm not sure how to pronounce his first name, but in any case, he was born in Nepal, and. There are the shrines. And these are pictures that I took when I was there. And now these are pictures that I actually got from local or from news services. And you can see it's total devastation. Nepal is a poor country. It's a very small country. It is a republic, but it's quite tragic what's happened there. And again, my purpose is not to make you feel guilty or anything like that, but that if you would like to help in some way, then we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. If you would like to... if after you leave here, you decide you want to do something, you can always do something online on our website, which is reachoutchurch.com, and just indicate for Nepal. And we'll make sure that everything is collected. Next week, we'll let you know what has come together, and we'll send that off to Samaritan's Purse. Amen? Does that sound like a plan? Sound like a good idea? Amen. So therefore, I'm going to ask the ushers to please come forward again, and... And let's just pray for the people of Nepal. And we're going to pray two things. We're going to pray for that their lives would be restored in the physical sense, but that this would also be an opportunity for the church to explode in Nepal. As Christian workers from so many different organizations come in and demonstrate the love of Christ, that the churches there, and there are many churches there, would literally explode with people who are looking for a Savior. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow. We ask you to bless our giving again. And Lord God, that yes, it would go to help with the physical needs of shelter and food and safety. But Lord, that you would also use those in Samaritan's Purse to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that God loves them and that Jesus died for them too. That Buddha may be in the grave, that the millions of gods that are found in Hinduism may be so many they can't even count them. But we serve a God who is alive, and we know him because we have experienced his presence. Lord, that your presence would go into the country of Nepal and shake that country from its very foundation. And Lord, that many would come to know you and be rescued, not only in body, but rescued in spirit. And so, Lord, we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's receive the offering. Jesus. We need to lower that step. Praise God. Okay, everybody, why don't we stand up? And Lord God, I just thank you for each person here. Just bless them as we've prayed a number of prayers and just continue to bless them. And Lord, that they would not run out of the building, but they would take time to just greet one another, to say Happy Mother's Day to every woman here. And Lord God, just to fellowship for a season of time. Amen. Lord God, we thank you and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.